unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either indicate it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you should wish to ask a question. Type P if you should wish to propose. Type S if you should wish to second. And please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or seconder. This should be done using the instant messenger feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through the instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute and indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messaging facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Folks, I'd like to take a moment just to pay respect to a council employee and a friend, Mark Gibney, who passed away very suddenly last week. I had the pleasure of knowing Mark, or as he was more widely known as, Hightower, and this was due to his tall and strong stature outside of the council, and can truly say that he was one of life's real gentlemen, a real gentle giant, but always up for a laugh. Mark loved all things sport and a dedicated member and a former player for Lochinan GAC, former basketball player for our Glass Sharks. He also played pool in the Castlewellan League and was a passionate golfer at the Spa Golf Club. Mark's love of sports transferred into his working life as a fitness GP referral instructor in the Newcastle Leisure Centre, where he will be sorely missed by all his colleagues. I attended Mark's funeral yesterday, and I believe the priest summed up Mark beautifully when he said, "Rest in peace, Hightower. Always stood out in a crowd, yet always fitted in." Our heartfelt sympathies to Mark's wife Leona and all his family and friends at this difficult time. May he rest in peace. As we open our monthly council meeting, I'd like to introduce my key theme relating to mental health and wellbeing this week or this month, and I'll be focusing on positive mental health and wellbeing in children and young people. With September bringing around not only changing seasons, but also bringing our children and young people back to school, I believe it's crucial to take this opportunity to have those important conversations with our young people and to focus on how they can maintain their own positive mental health. Well, I'm sure a lot of young people have been excited about the return to school and a bit of normality and routine after the past 18 months. I know that there will be others that are filled with dread at this prospect, and it's bound to the ongoing issue of bullying. Bullying is a behaviour which is usually repeated and carried out to intentionally hurt or harm or adversely affect the rights and needs of another or others, and it can take many forms. The 1st of September did see the implementation of the Addressing Bullying Schools Act across the North, which is aimed at tackling prejudice bullying in schools. The Act embodies anti-bullying policies in schools, providing all schools with singular definition of bullying behaviour, requiring all schools to have an anti-bullying policy, and requiring them to keep records of all complaints of bullying. And while I welcome this legislation as a positive step forward for our young people in schools, it also brings to light how we need to focus on ensuring that our young people have as much support to encourage growth, independence and overall well-being as we move back into the school year. Encouraging positive mental health and embracing mental ill health and recovery in young people will hopefully build a future where everyone has access to the support they need. Our society has become all too familiar with incidents of mental health and lack of support, and most unfortunately, increasing suicide rates. World Suicide Prevention Day falls on Friday, the 10th of September, and aims to remove the taboo and start the conversation about suicide, while showing that recovery is possible. I would like to encourage you all in the coming days to start having these difficult conversations with young people in your families and also your communities, and to make them aware of the support services that are available, to encourage them to talk and communicate with family and friends, to use services available within the education system, and to begin this September by focusing on building their own positive mental health. If everyone could reach out to a young person or organise a meeting with a group of young people and listen to their experiences of dealing with positive and negative mental health issues. These could be issues about getting back into education, dealing with exams and peer pressure, or also issues separate to the education system. You could post something unique to your own social media channels over the coming weeks in September about this task using the hashtag NMD Mental Health Matters. It will be a positive step forward in this council, raising awareness of the importance of developing positive mental health and strengthening the resiliency of our young people across the district. Thanks very much. So we'll move on to item number one, which is apologies. Sarah, is there any apologies? No. Thanks, sorry.
Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you.
Councillor Rowan.
Thank you. Councillor Walker, are you looking to come in?
Yes, Chair. Thanks very much. As I'm sure a lot of councillors are aware that a couple of weeks ago, a former councillor from Down District Council had passed away, and I would like to ask council officials, would it maybe be possible to send a letter of sympathy to the family of the late Ethel Smith? We've done it in the past when other former councillors has passed away from the both councils, and that. So I would like a letter of apology, hopefully to go to the family of the late Ethel Smith.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Walker. Item number two is my declarations of interest. Okay, we'll move on to item number three, which is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 2nd of August. We'll go through it page by page for accuracy, so page one, page two and page three. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Thank you. Any matters arising? Okay, we'll move on to item number four, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 2nd of August 2021. Again, I'll go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5 and page 6. Can I get a proposer and seconder for accuracy? Yes, Councillor Ennard.
I was actually there for the meeting. I'm not shown on page one. I was late in, but I got a comment in before the meeting finished. It was finished very early.
Okay, that's fine, Councillor Ennard, thank you. So can I get a proposer and a seconder? Proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Any matters arising? No. Okay, we'll move on to item number five, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 23rd of August 2021. We'll go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3 and page 4. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? Okay. No, we'll move on to item number six, which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 9th of August. We'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, page 16, page 17, page 18, and page 19. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Burgess. Matters arising. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. I know at the previous ERT meeting I did raise a point about electric charging points. I know we're all aware of the campaign that's ongoing and with the eventual electrification of cars and vehicles in about a few years' time. And I did raise about electric charging points across the district because as councillors, I'm sure we're all getting contacted by residents and constituents about the lack of charging points in the district. And I must say, I did raise this at our last meeting, and I do welcome that Jonathan had said that they were currently going through a procurement exercise to appoint a team to identify sites for these very important points. And I'm just wondering, is there an update on what progress has been made since the last meeting? Thanks, Chair.
Connor, would you like to come in? You're on mute, Connor.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That procurement is still out to the market, so we hope to have that back within the next 2 to 3 weeks, and then we'll get moving on that piece of work.
Thanks very much, Connor. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 12th of August 2021. We'll go through a page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9 and page 10. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor O'Murray and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Is there any matters arising? No matters arising. Then we'll move on to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 16th of August. We'll go through page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, and page 16. Can I get a proposer and seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor McAvoy and seconded by Councillor Finnegan. And any matters arising? No. Okay, we'll move on to item number 9, which is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on the 18th of August 2021. We'll go through page by page. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Finnegan and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? Councillor McAteer.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair. It's just on the item of the bus shelter request or bus shelter approval. I'd be happy, of course, totally to propose that we accept the recommendations. But there's just one thing just to draw people's attention to, and that I've been liaising with both council staff and TransLink since 2018 on the particular one in Bourne. Now, coincidentally, good news is such, both have actually agreed to provide a bus shelter. But the only difference is that the TransLink one will be of a better quality and will be subject to a 10-day cleaning schedule in line with all the rest of their ones. So, and also we have seating inside for ours is quite welcome, would be a cantilever type. And the, again, go back to the TransLink one, would be lighted and smart tech ready for when they will go live with this new smart technology. Now, the only problem I have with the whole thing is that both of them are there, is time. The expected delivery from TransLink is part of 111 bus shelters and other improvements in multi-million pound package being put together. And it unfortunately will take us until next year until that's delivered. Now, so there's a bit of a dilemma there, you know, do we wait? Both, as I say, parties have agreed, council and TransLink have agreed. The advantages are the saving of £4,000 to £5,000 for the council that could be used on a bus shelter elsewhere. The disadvantage is there's going to be another potential winter with no shelter for at the bus stop, which is used also by a lot of school kids use it in the morning going to school. But could I maybe just maybe I've got a common sense in the whole thing and say that could I ask, even fully approve recommendations, but I ask that the approval go ehead, but the officers liaise with the project manager from TransLink, Jonathan Elliott, in that if the project, if they're able to deliver this sooner rather than later, that we would actually keep that on board and keep that offer from TransLink there. As I say, it would save money for the council, but free up another potential bus shelter somewhere else that is needed, you know. Maybe even in our own area. There's a lot of requests in the Codleave area for bus shelters as well, so it could be directed elsewhere in Bourne, Warren Point, or the old Warren Point Road. So that's really what I'm saying, Chair, and asking that officers do that.
Thanks, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Hannan, I apologise to see your question was actually in first. But, Johnny, do you want to make any comment on Councillor McAteer's comments?
Yeah, Chair, as you come in there, in terms of the original recommendation from the committee, that was on the basis that TransLink hadn't committed to a timetable. So if members are content to proceed with the recommendation from the committee, we as officers will follow up with TransLink and we'll give an update at the next committee meeting, which will be later this month.
Okay, Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. If I could just come in under the notes of the meeting under 119. First of all, we want to commend the council team, especially in response to requests to have help during the local festivals over the bank holiday weekend. I know that the council were under major pressure to provide bins and stuff, but I saw firsthand when I was out in Strangford that, you know, the bin lorry went round and lifted whatever was there, and it certainly kept the place tidy. So I do appreciate the response to that request. Just looking at the notes or the minutes, you know, we're going to go back to the need for the good cleansing schedule, especially during the tourism season. So a note that it says that a contractor will shortly be appointed for deep cleansing of major towns and villages. And I just wondered, was there more of a time frame for that? And the reason I'm asking is that I can't emphasise enough the amount of complaints that I'm getting with regards to the street cleansing, both in the major, well, Downpatrick, but also in some of the villages as well. Myself and Councillor Mason have received complaints from outside of the district, which I find quite worrying. So these are visitors that are coming in and they're feeding back through the chair and through the local councillor their experience of going to the likes of Arglass and Coolock. And I don't want that to be the legacy that they have, leaving Newry Morning down. You know, that they're really praising us for our heritage and all the other things that we have to offer, but they're expressing major dismay with the state of the streets. So, you know, whenever we're hearing it from our own residents, obviously we'll sit up and take notice. But if you're hearing it from outside the district, then these are people that travel across the island of Ireland, and yet it's these areas here that we are looking after that are obviously not up to scratch compared to other areas. And I know the likes of Councillor Walker is always using the analogy between ourselves and the south. And, you know, it's just to re-emphasise that it isn't going away. And in fact, the email complaints are actually increasing. So I would like to see, you know, some more of a robust time schedule there in terms of when we're going to start to address it. Thank you.
Councillor Devon, can I just ask, is your question on the same kind of issue?
No, Chair, it's regarding a separate matter.
Okay, no worries. Well, Johnny, would you like to come in and respond to Councillor Hannan?
Yeah, Chair, I'm happy to come in there. Yeah, we have appointed the contractor, so that work is actually already underway, and we have been in some of our coastal resorts at this point, so the intention is to present that schedule at this month's committee meeting. So happy to pick that up offline, of course, in advance of the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Devon.
Thank you. Chair, my item was written to actually page 6, the reference to the brown caddy bins for the schools. And I know this is an issue that I'd raised with Neighbourhood Services last winter. I was delighted to see it on a paper, I think, just in May and approved by Council at that point. I'm just conscious that it's on a paper again and coming to us tonight. I'm just wondering, do we have a definitive date for rolling out the 10 caddy bins to each school across the district? I do think it's a really positive move by the Council. And I'm just wondering, do we actually, through you, Chair, to Johnny, have a date for the rollout of the 10 bins to the schools?
Johnny, would you like to respond?
Yeah, sure. The intention was when the schools reopened to book to commence that process. So we would like to do that as quickly as possible, coming out of ratification of the minutes tonight.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ryan?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just more a comment than a question or anything. Obviously, I raised quite a number of what I felt were very serious issues at the last meeting in relation to the cleanliness of our district, and particularly in my own hometown of Warren Point, and the lack of cleaning over the summer months. I would also like to put on record that since that meeting, I have to say I've seen a sea change in the what has been offered and the cleansing that is done around the town. And I think that's the way forward, but I think we have a long way to go. There was a number of issues that were raised at the meeting, and I think as a council we need to see how we can better do the jobs that are out there to be done. I know Una touched on the streets around the town, and I have to say there is an issue in Warren Point at the moment in relation to, it seems, the sap that is falling off trees onto the pavements along the EI scheme, which have left them extremely slippy and sticky. But maybe that's down to the fact that we've had very little rainfall and nothing to wash it away. But the streets do need a clean. And I'm not sure where it sits on the road, Johnny, but it is something that if we could send our officers down to have a look at it, because it is extremely noticeable. But just to acknowledge that there has been a change over the last number of weeks, and it's great to see that there. But I would implore our department to keep at it, because we have other issues out there, and we have a long way to go in getting ourselves back to what is acceptable for the people that we represent.
Thanks, Councillor Ryan. Johnny, do you want to respond to the comments?
Yeah, I can follow up on that issue about the sap on the pavement and revert to the Councillor after the meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Lewis? Are you on mute, Councillor Lewis?
Sorry. That's the first time that's ever happened to me. I want to just make a comment there in relation to the Refuge Collection Service on page 1. There has been an awful lot of complaints from Slieve Croob, and without going back into that again and rehearsing it, because it was discussed at length at the neighbourhood meeting, it was just to say that that to thank Johnny and to thank the team for the quick and proactive response that they did put in place to get this eventually sorted. But we are continually hearing the phrase that the bins and the refuge collection service was better under the Banbridge Council and under the old council arrangements, and I just have to report what the constituents are saying, particularly from the top of Slieve Croob, Bally Ward and Leitrim, that they do feel as if they're being left behind, and that there is a sort of that if there's a lorry less, and that's the last area that gets picked up. I know, because I've been working with you, Johnny, on this, that there is roads that are only half within our district, with two houses here and three houses there, and that sort of thing. But it was to ask, do you think that you've got the back of that broke, and is there a way that we could better communicate this with the residents, just to reassure those residents within Steve Krube of the unique the unique layout there, and the unique problems that the refuge team have been sort of facing, and perhaps maybe if the council would even go as far as putting out a basic statement into the local press that just really explains this, what has went on there, because we do have households that weren't getting their bin lifted for two to 3 weeks. And just finally, just sorry, without holding you all up, could we have a look at the street cleansing in Macara, please? They sort of feel their shift are being left behind, and it's just small stuff, really, you know, just like weeds and stuff, and just the sweeper and all that sort of stuff. So if we could look at that's getting done or being done, or it's on a list, it will be helpful.
Thanks, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Hart and Councillor Casey, can I just ask for your comments around the same issues on refuge collection and street cleansing?
Mine's on a separate issue.
Okay, Councillor Casey?
Yeah, mine's on littering.
Okay, do you want to go ahead, Charlie, and maybe Johnny can address the two at the same time?
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Cathy. I know maybe Neighbourhood Services is the place to raise all this, but might as well have a go now when everybody else is getting a dig in for a council not providing a half-decent service. I do a fair bit of walking, and I know the work that our council staff do and roundabouts and stuff like that, they're doing sterling work. But if they approach roads to those roundabouts, I'm talking about the one at Five Ways and the next one as you head towards the Moran Country, the roads running through those, they're littered extensively at all times. And I know if people wouldn't drop the litter, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But I do recall asking Liam Dinsmore to lobby the Mully Retail Park to put a wire mesh or an ordinary mesh down on the fence that leads off there to the Caribbean Way. A lot of stuff was windblown. A lot of it's just dropped as people go home. But if you take a walk on Fuller Down and you walk round past Haldane Fishers, both of those verges on either side are littered continuously, and they've never been cleaned. I know maybe our teams don't go around that far. Somebody would give me a litter picker and a couple of bags, and a few guys, I'd actually do it myself. But just while we're on it, it's good to get it clear my chest on it now, and I appreciate the time, Cathy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie. Guys, look, I'm conscious that I don't want to be rehearsing what should be really raised at the Neighbourhood Services Committee. So perhaps, Johnny, you can contact the guys offline and respond to those individual queries. Valerie, is yours an issue that needs raised now?
Yeah, it's just I don't sit on Neighbourhood Services, so I'm just...
No worries.
I'm asking if the department would maybe write to Openreach and NI Water. In the area here where I live in, which is Church Street, Cann Street, Fullerton Road, we have had utility groups in since February digging up the streets. No sooner does somebody fill in the hole and tar it over, does somebody else comes behind them and digs it out again. Unfortunately, at the minute, we have two groups in, Openreach and NI Water, and the state that they have left the streets in is unbelievable. Not only the dirt, but there's lumps of stones and rocks lying everywhere. They've broken curb stones. There's piles of those big orange barriers sitting everywhere. we just need them to come in, because the cleaning of the street is going to end up falling to the council. Whereas at the minute, whilst these people are here, they could be asked to clean the mess that they've made. Thank you.
Thanks, Valerie. Johnny, again, can I ask you to just pick up with Valerie offline about it? Councillor Clark, is yours on a specific item on the minutes?
Yeah, Chair, it's just in regards to the cleansing stuff. A bit like Councillor Rowan said, there's been a marked improvement in the cleansing in the main street and stuff in Newcastle. The washing of the pavements and that, it's been greatly appreciated by the local community and also the business community. It's just in regards to, I think I've raised it before, Johnny, in regards to, the housing executive estates. There seems to be a problem with the cleansing of the estates. I'm thinking of the likes of Dunwallon Park, Arkeel Park, Ballabay Park, the Burndale Estate. There's large amounts of litter and it hasn't improved. So I just wonder what mechanism is going to put in place, what schedule is going to be in place to ensure that these areas are cleansed. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Willie. Johnny, again, can I ask that you pick up with the councillors on all those issues that have been raised, please?
Yeah, happy to do that, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to item number 10, which is the planning section on the local development plan. Page by page is page 1 and page 2. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Hannah and seconded by Councillor Burgess. Any matters arising? Okay, we'll move on to item number 11. I'm just going to take item number 11 and 12 together. It's the Housing Council minutes from June the 10th. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for it and the Housing Council Bulletin, August 2021? Just for noting. Councillor O'Murray proposing. And Councillor Savage is seconding, I think. You have a comment, Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, no, Chair. Just really on the whole issue, the housing conference, the whole Housing Council minutes, and the reports are very useful and they give us a global overview of what's going on across the north in relation to housing. But, the important issue for us is how we meet and deal with housing need in our own area here. And really what I'm looking for tonight is an update and a date in relation to the housing needs conference. We talked about that being available to us or ready to go sometime in October. We're now at the first week of September. And there's a number of bits and pieces of work I think we need to do to be able to meet that timeline, if we're going to meet it at all. We need more engagement from our councillors in relation to shaping the agenda as well as the key stakeholders. I think it's very important, based on some of the information that's come through council meetings in recent weeks, that we are stirring from a sort of development zoning issue within the council. We have somewhere to 50% of what we've already developed still out there for zoning, and it's important that we get developers involved so that we provide incentives and encouragement for them to develop land, because we've land banks there lying that are doing nothing. And in the week that the Housing for All strategy was launched in the south, I think we need to be doing what's within our gift as council to try and ensure that we deliver housing at all levels. Because one of the other crises that we're now facing is the ability for young people who want to get on the property ladder, who maybe don't want to look at social housing but would like to invest in a house themselves, are finding it incredibly difficult to get on the housing ladder. Prices are through the roof at the moment, and the availability of housing across all aspects, all areas of the district. You only have to look at how many houses are available on Property Pal or some of the websites in some of the towns and villages across the district, and the housing stock just isn't there. So we need to, as part of this housing conference, encourage either a carrot or stick incentive through the planning system to ensure that developers step up and use the land banks that they're sitting on, that they don't sit and wait for the golden goose to land at some stage, if they actually fulfil their duty as a developer as per the planning that's been given to them to provide housing across the district. And we also need to ensure this time we go one step further, that we don't have deputy permanent secretary or permanent secretary there. We actually have the minister there, because if all the parties who are sitting around government really care about the biggest social crisis we face in this island, which is housing, the minister should be there to listen, because outside of Derry and Belfast, we face the biggest challenge. And I also believe, as well as the last time, we have the chief executive and invite the chief executive of the housing executive there. And also, Chair, I think it's very important, as I'm sure all the councillors here who face on a day-to-day basis, the social impact of housing need and lack of housing availability in relation to how it impacts in relationships, mental health. I know that's very important to you, Chair, that we ensure that those people working at the coalface and dealing with the outworkings of that, where the lack of social and affordable housing, the lack of access to be able to buy your first property, has an overcrowded households and the social consequences of that. So, Chair, really what I'm looking for tonight is a date. I see Connor's there tonight. If Connor could maybe give us an update on where we're going, and maybe if there's a mechanism available for stakeholders and councillors to feed in to shaping that agenda and really get a progress report of what we're looking at time-wise. But, you know, I think we need to look at this in relation to what are we seeking in outcomes from this conference. This will be our second one, and we need to make this bigger and better if we can, because we have had some successes from 2017, 2018, since we changed our planning policy. We've started to see more houses coming out of the ground. And I know with all our councillors here, when we do manage to get families placed in housing that they've yearned for many years, the difference that makes to the fabric of our society here. So, Chair, if we give an update on that, and it's something I'm very anxious and very keen that we push on with. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Savage. Just to note that I do think that there is a special housing meeting coming up at the end of the month, on the 27th of September. Connor, do you want to come in on the other issues?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. To update Councillor Savage, officers have been working away in the background very closely with the housing executive and their local teams within the council district to pull together an agenda and a list of prospective speakers. I'm meeting with the team that's working on it tomorrow, and I hope that the next committee meeting that we would have an update and potentially a proposed date and schedule. But a lot of it is due to availability of speakers and availability of venues and the ongoing restrictions with COVID and doing it in a safe manner where we get the best value. So we're not in a position to give a date at this minute in time, but we hope to be in a position in the coming weeks.
Thanks, Chair. Appreciate that, Connor. Thank you.
Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Cathy. Yeah, I was just agree with everything that Councillor Savage said. And housing issues in the Mourns area for a long time weren't as pertinent as in other areas, but I found that over the last few months, young couples just cannot get on the housing ladder. And a lot of people from GB now buying houses in Mourne, and a reduction in rural approvals. So we're a real storm gathering in terms of housing down here. And Connor, if you could also mention to, or maybe involve NI Water, because I now know of a number of developments that have been rejected on the grounds that there's insufficient sewage capacity in the Mourns area, and they're being told that they have to put in their own treatment plants, and that's enormously expensive and would add further to the cost of reasonably priced homes or affordable homes. So it's definitely a major issue, and it's going to get a lot worse over the next few years. So just to agree what Councillor Savage said, and ask that NI Water in particular be asked, invited to it, to give an explanation as to how they can facilitate further development. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Riley. Councillor Marketeer?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And again, I think maybe we could ask, putting it all on Connor, of course, could we ask, when we're putting together the agenda for that meeting in September, that we take a look at what has been happening, what the main features has been the last 2 years, really, within our area in terms of the type of housing that has been approved and has currently been built, because I do think that there is a gap there. There's a rightful concentration certainly on the housing executive and some of the housing associations, but there is that big gap there where the private buyer as such has been left sitting out, and I think that's becoming more to the fore now, and as the construction costs increase, and I do think there's a big danger there of a void for the private, the first time buyer and people who are moving up. And I know we've approved quite a lot of affordable and social housing projects over the last 12 months, but I just, for that conference to be worthwhile, putting together exactly what has been approved, what is to be built, and the type of housing that it will be to address what I'm talking about there, because I think it'll be more comprehensive study, and it'll be a worthwhile conference if all those issues were brought and discussed. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd just like Council Management to report back at that meeting in September on progress that they've made in pushing the envelope of what developments are allowed. And I know over the last number of years, on a cross-party basis, councillors have expressed concern that in the 33-odd settlements around the area, really settlement developments can only be brought forward by private developers or under PPS 21 exemptions by housing associations. And it's not actually possible, the way things stand at the moment, for village development associations, co-ops, co-housing, or other types of non-profit groups to bring forward developments in our area, or indeed anywhere in Northern Ireland under PPS 21, even with the support of a housing association. And I do recall, just before COVID came in, the council invited the village from Clochjordan to make a presentation in the Glebe Castle Hotel to show us what the ideal would be for a rural development based on climate change, based on the need to involve community, and based on the need for affordability of housing. And it's fair to say that there wasn't a single thing that the village was doing that would be legally permissible in our council area. Everything from the parking arrangements to the standards of housing to the legal ownership of the housing, or even the ability to bring forward a proposal. And indeed in Strangford, a similar proposal was brought forward, and exactly the same as the village from Clochjordan in Tipperary. And literally every single item that the village had ticked as essential for a sustainable rural housing development was ruled inadmissible by our planning department. Now, this has been going on for 2 or 3 years now, in fact longer, and I know Willie Clark has brought this up, SDLP councillors have brought this up, and the narrow remit of rural development for non-profit making organisations to deliver housing in our area. The fact that we can't deliver something that is now commonplace in England, Wales, Scotland and the Republic of Ireland simply because we've got PPS 21 written incorrectly. Could we please have feedback at long last on that item, Chair?
Thanks, Colgan. Connor, are you okay to take note of those comments?
Yep, happy to take note, Chair, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to items number 13, 14 and 15 are conferences that are taking place. Could I ask that if anyone wishes to attend, they have to be NILGA members, can they get in touch with Democratic Services as soon as they possibly can, because I know some of them are coming up quite soon. Councillor Taylor, you have a question?
Well, Chair, if you have answered there, just in terms of that, it's going to be actually suggested if councillors want to get back to the officials, they should do that. The only thing I would say is, Chair, as well, we get, you know, these invites through at times, and I think maybe previously council would have given a recommendation as to whether there was benefit in attending them or not, and the cost obviously associated with it, and I think that's something we should look at again. Obviously, you have to ensure that these conferences, a lot of them are very useful, obviously, but it has to be value for money benefited from them as well, attending them. So it's some of them might be taking place online, depends where we are as well with COVID at that particular time. But just, I was going to suggest that any expert, you know, councillors, you know, even within my own party, would be a councillor interested, but I think we should, you know, as a council, be looking at these, you know, in more detail as to whether, you know, with the costs associated with the benefit of them as well before bringing them forward here. Because it's sort of left open-ended at this stage without any recommendations on them. So I think maybe should be looked at going forward.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Taylor. So we'll just ask that everyone could get those names wishing to attend in as soon as possible. And I'm sure if you do want any further information on these ones, Democratic Services can provide it, but we'll take note of that, Councillor Taylor, going forward. Marie, you want to come in?
Yeah, just to clarify as well, see on the National Association of Councillors, it would only be those members that are on the National Association of Councillors that would be in attendance. It's not an open invitation to all councillors, because to Councillor Taylor's point, this involves costs for travel, etc. So there are certain members designated to certain aspects of those things.
Thank you. So we'll move on to item number 16, which is correspondence dated the 10th of the 8th, 2021, from Causeway and Glens Borough Council regarding the Regional Home Safety Educational Facility. And they're asking for support, so we need a proposer and a seconder to support their request. Councillor Hanlon, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I don't know if I have enough information on this, just in terms of trying to make a proposal. I suppose when I read it, one of the first things that struck me, and if they corrected on it, that's fine, but so they're saying that their facility was removed because of lack of foot flow, but they're asking at the same time to build another one. So if I can maybe get a wee, or if anybody's able to provide clarity on that, on what they're actually asking us to support.
Chair, can I maybe suggest that we move this through to the Active and Healthy Communities Committee, where we can get maybe a wee bit more consideration, a bit of information then for members as well?
Okay. Is that okay, Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, I propose that goes to Active Health.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a seconder for that, please? Councillor Murray. Councillor Byrne, is your question regarding something similar? Is it okay? Is it answered now to that, going to Active and Healthy Communities?
Yeah, Chair, but I'll add on to it. When the paper does come in front of AHC, I don't think we can just look at it one route of building a regional facility. I think there are other ways of delivering safety messages when it can be, you know, out with schools in travelling around the country as well. So I don't think, I know the funding was largely from the PSNI for radar anyhow, and it was widely used by schools and that. I don't think we should just replace like with like and have a regional facility that the government then has to pay for. Look at different ways of delivering the safety messages, going out and visiting schools, community centres and whatever. And I think if you build that into a paper, then you can have a discussion with the department or the minister instead of just giving a sign off and an agreement to build a facility.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Byrne. Councillor McKevitt?
Thanks very much, Chair. Yeah, can I also ask that maybe it be brought to the PCSP as well? Just there's plenty of road safety issues and all of that is dealt with through that format as well. So it would be good maybe to put that on the radar there. Thank you.
Absolutely, Councillor McKevitt, no problem. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 17, which is correspondence dated the 25th of the 8th, 2021 from the Minister of Health regarding the notice of motion. I'd just like to just comment on this, that I welcome this letter. I do think that it's come out of the notice of motion that I have brought. I do welcome the letter, but there are still a number of questions that I would have just regarding the referral services and things like that. However, I do, like I say, strongly welcome the new strategy that's coming in. Can I get a proposer and a seconder to note that correspondence, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Thank you. So item number 18 then is the NILGA Local Development Planning Programme 2021. There's a number of councillors have already indicated that they'd like to attend. If there's anyone else who has any interest in attending, again, can they please contact Democratic Services?
Tomorrow's closing date.
And tomorrow's the closing date for that, so if we could get in tonight, if possible. If it's not in by 12 o'clock, you'll not be able to attend it. The closing date is really soon, although Councillor Burgess, McKee and Murphy have already expressed an interest in that one. Councillor O'Murray?
No, I was just going to say, is it safe to say that those three councillors are already on it? This is the last line you said. That's all right. So we can get back to Councillor Murphy, for example, and say that his name's recommended to go on it before the deadline tomorrow. He doesn't need to do anything else.
No, those names are already on it. It's just there's anyone else to get in ASAP. Okay, so we'll move on to the notice of motion. And the notice of motion we have tonight is the Rights of Nature, received from Councillor Gibbons. This has been referred to the AHC committee. But Councillor Gibbons, if you'd like to read out your motion and let us know who's going to be seconding it for you.
Thank you, Chair. Just quickly, I just want to comment, Chair, that I'm a wee bit perplexed and annoyed that this motion is being deferred. The same motion has went through councils across the north, and it's been through the full council. So I'm a wee bit sort of perplexed on that front, and maybe might get an answer by the time I'm finished here. But I'll motor on anyway, and it's Councillor McMurray who will be seconding it, Chair. Council notes the legal social movement globally of the rights of nature aimed to strengthen the protection for people, place and planet. Council recognises the rights of nature can help catalyse and innovate rethinking about how to create, regenerate, not extractivist economies while also making human and other living communities safer, stronger and more resilient. Council commends the excellent work already being done by our council officers on climate emergency and biodiversity crisis, but recognises the need for a rights-based approach to nature. Council will, over the next 6 months, collaborate with civic society, including the Gathering, Friends of the Earth Northern Ireland and trade unions, to explore what rights of nature mean to the people and the economies of the region, and to investigate how rights of nature could be expressed in community plans, corporate plans, improvement objectives and other strategic frameworks. In particular, the Council will in the next 6 months hold 2 community workshops and work with the local community and stakeholders to draw up a Declaration of Rights of Nature for the Council area to be brought back before Council for adoption. Council asks for a report to come to Council on the embedding of Rights of Nature as a keystone concept into Council's operational practices, planning processes and long-term decision making. Council notes our position as a border region and our mutual environmental obligations under the ESPO Convention, and so invite all councils in the north to also explore rights of nature for their council areas. That's it, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Gibbons. And it's just to note that it was moved to committee just under Standing Order 16.1.6. Councillor McMurray, I note that you're seconding the motion.
Yep.
You just confirm that you're seconding the motion in line with the standing orders. There's no comment, just to confirm that you're seconding it, please.
I just want to thank Councillor Gibbons for allowing me to second that. And yes, I suppose I would just sort of slightly echo his concerns about going into committee. I mean, as you know, I've put stuff to motions before that have seemed to be bounced in the committee that have gone in for an item. There's still a motion from February that sort of seems to have disappeared into the ether. So again, I think it is in without note, and it is worth given. Right, thank you, Chair. Bye now.
Thank you. Okay, well, that draws us to a close tonight, folks. Thanks very much for your attendance.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. Thank you.